Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
And if you've just joined us, welcome to the show. It is the second and final edition of the show. It is Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. I must say that I love all the segments on this show, all of them. Not even a single one that I do not necessarily like. And I do think that a lot of you like all the segments. But this shapeshifter one is one that I think is really interesting. This is where we get to the person behind the person and learn a little bit about them, their journey, and more importantly, right, how they handle money. So my shapeshifter this evening is no stranger to this show. He is called Ace. I think there's a reason why he's called Ace. And if you listened to our show last week, you'd know exactly why he is called Ace. If you weren't listening, where were you? Vavasier, right? Would ask you that question. But he is called Ace. And like I mentioned, he is no stranger to this particular radio station and also this show. Because time allocated last week could not, at least in our words, contain all that we wanted to discuss with him. Because time is always an enemy. And I think this time around, it was a very big enemy, right? So we couldn't, of course, have all the conversations that we wanted to have with him. So we decided to invite him back on the show so that he can share a little bit more lessons, insights throughout his own experience and career as an entrepreneur, radio and TV personality, model, a leader. Let me just mention this one, ladies, sorry. He is a husband as well and father as well, so he is not available. Mr. Evans, good evening and welcome to the show once again.
Good evening, Tapelo. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, fantastic. And how's your day so far?
My day has been well. What did they say? Another day, another...
Another dollar. I love that.
And there's a quotation I like. I'm not too sure who said it, but I said, show me a man that can make a dollar in a day.
Okay.
You have shown me a man that will be eternally rich.
Ooh, that's an interesting thought.
So the thought behind that is not everyone,
yeah,
given no resources, can actually make a dollar.
Ooh, what a way to start, Mr. Evans. You're already challenging us there. I mean, sure. That's an interesting thought.
It is, yeah.
I must remember that day.
Potentially affect as well.
It is. Yeah, fantastic. What a way to start the show. But anyways, thank you so much once again for joining us. We really, really appreciate your time. And God may indeed continue to bless you and enlarge your territory. That's our prayer for you there. But thank you so much for joining us. For our listeners who went there in the last conversation, like I said, first of all, Vavasi, where were you and what were you doing? But anyways, in our last conversation, we ended with a piece of advice that Mr. Evans gave, that whatever you do and everything that we do, we should be bringing it closer to righteousness, peace, and joy. Not only for the sake of, you know, righteousness, peace, and joy, but according to the desires of God for our lives. So how would you say your experience have shaped your quest for these three, Mr. Evans? Maybe let's start there.
My interaction with people has always led me in my business journey.
Yeah.
And I've discovered that God never puts out a plan without involving people.
Yeah.
You always interact with people along the way.
Yeah.
And so I always thought, you know, when you go into business as a young person,
yes,
all of 2021, I thought, you know, if I'm in business, I have to be strict.
Yeah.
I have to be, you know, I have to be the man.
Yeah.
I have to be strong. And if I show weakness, then I won't be able to be successful.
Yes.
I'm not going to make it. So I've got to be cutthroat. I've got to make sure that I'm a shark. But you can be hard and you can be strong, but you can do it in a way that still brings those three elements that we spoke of.
Mm.
And I discovered that when I was 22, 23, when I started working in the family business, I discovered that as I started making more money,
yeah,
a lot of people started noticing.
Mm.
And I love helping people.
Mm.
And so one of the things that a lot of people will come across.
Okay, let me see. Looks like we've lost Mr. Evans there. Okay, let me check on my side if we've lost him there or if he is back. Let's see. Mr. Evans, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Ah, I lost you there for a few seconds. Yes, that's no problem.
Yes. I was saying.
Yeah. Mr. Evans, can you hear me? We've lost you again. Okay, so we've lost him there. Let me see if we can get him back again while you hold on to that. Let me do this. I think we will definitely get him back on the line because it is a conversation that we need to have. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Ah, fantastic. Apologies about that. I'm not sure what's happening with the gremlins here in studio.
Not a problem, not a problem.
Yes.
So I can continue.
Yes, yes, off, please. Right? Yes, please.
Fantastic. So as when you become successful, people start to notice.
Yeah.
People will begin to ask you for help, and that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
And because I love helping people, I was always willing to help.
Yes.
If I had extra money, I would give, you know, $5 here, $20 here. Mm. It may not seem like large amounts, but I was always helping people.
Mm.
But then I realized something, and this is something that we all have to realize.
Mm.
Our hearts have got to be in the right place. It's something that I mentioned when we spoke the first time.
Yeah.
And when we help people, number one, you've got to check yourself. So I will always help people out of genuine sincerity.
Mm.
But some people start to help like the Pharisees that gave in the temple.
Mm.
They do it for show.
Yes.
Some people love to be seen to be the savior of the situation, or the savior of an endeavor. But I believe that when we help people, you need to be prepared to be in the background.
Yeah.
Helping people and becoming successful, making money is something that I've not bragged about from the top of a hill.
Mm.
But some people do it for that reason. Now, the second thing that has shaped me early on regarding money and business is that, as we all know, not everybody is genuine.
Yeah.
Not everybody has your best interests at heart. People will try and steal. They will try and cheat.
Hmm.
And even in situations of philanthropy.
Mm.
And I discovered that some people would come for help.
Yeah.
But their need was not genuine.
Yeah.
And so being a good steward of God's blessings becomes extremely important for everyone in the area of the heart.
Yeah.
And you have got to be sensitive enough to know when it's the right time to give.
Sure.
When it's not the right time to give.
Sure.
At times, we feel bad that, you know, we might have to say no to someone.
Yes.
But put the shoes on your feet.
Sure.
You know, if the shoes put on your feet, imagine if you needed help. If you came to me and I said no, would you end there?
No.
I think you would continue.
Definitely.
And look for help somewhere else.
Definitely.
And this is important because a no is not a bad answer. Sometimes the no is the link the person needs to get to their God-ordained connection.
And why do we fear this no, Mr. Evans? Why do we have? Because I think it sometimes inhibits us from even going out there and trying things out, because we always feel like, well, they're going to say no.
Correct. Correct. It's a fear, and it's a fear of rejection. That is why the dispensation of grace that we live in at the moment is so attractive, because what God has said to us through His Son Jesus is that there is no no. Come as you are.
Yes.
Right? But just be honest. So we love.
Mr. Evans, can you hear me? Mr. Evans, can you hear me? Okay, seems like we've lost Mr. Evans there again. Okay, let me see what is happening here so that we can then be able to reconnect with him once again. I think the gremlins here in studio are just making things a little bit difficult, but nonetheless, we shall soldier on and have this conversation with the viewers. He says that the gremlins in studio are working overtime, and I think they truly are. I think they truly are working a little bit overtime, but nonetheless, like I said, it's a conversation that we will not end because it's a conversation that is quite very, very important. So, okay, let me see if I can try it. Different line for him to come through, and we can talk about this one. We are not gonna let it go. No ways whatsoever are we gonna let this conversation go. Okay, let me see. I'm trying him on a different line. Hopefully it can go through. So let me do this while I am sorting that out. Seems like it's not going through on our side. Okay, fantastic. We've got Mr. Evans back on the line. So you were just talking about that last line about being successful and saying that we don't do it from the right heart. That's what I was understanding you to be saying.
At times we don't do it from the right point of view, from in our hearts. And it's so important, Tapelo, to understand that the same way that when you come to me and ask me for help, you'll go to the next person, and you'll continue until you try and reach your desired result.
Yes.
But in so doing, that's where God's connection comes through. His hand can then come through, because you have to be connected to the right people.
Yes.
And so at times people give and they help in or out of success, in or out of money.
Yeah.
And they expect, and dare I say, almost demand a blessing from God. They expect an immediate reciprocation from the throne of grace in a tangible form many times. But God is not an ATM. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
And that's why we are encouraged to give freely, to give without expectation.
Yeah.
And therefore, one of the principles I have in my life that I encourage people to live by.
Yes.
Is when it comes to giving, number one, because it's gonna come. You're gonna be successful. And you're going to have money. It's going to come. Thing is, if you want to give outside of prescribed giving, so your offerings or your tithes at church, outside of that, when you give, when your friend comes to you and says, can I borrow 100 rand? Can I borrow 20,000 rand?
Yeah.
You are not a bank. I am not a bank. I don't lend money. Neither be a borrower nor a lender be, if possible. And so when I give, I always tell people, this is my principle. If I give, I do not expect it back.
20,000 rands, Mr. Evans, that's a lot of money not to expect it back, though.
So this is what it then does. It then means I have to check myself and what I am able to gladly give. Because the blessing is not just in the act of giving.
Yeah.
The blessing is in the condition of the heart.
Sure.
And God tells us that he loves a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So if you're not happy in the giving, then God won't be happy either.
Yeah. So are you saying we should hold it back if you're not willing to, give it away without expecting it back? Rather, don't give.
I think God is not a man that he'll lie. So I think when you give and you do expect it back, I think the principles that are in the word, God will bless you.
Yeah.
But when your child or when your partner does something for you, all right, don't you feel happy if they do something good for you? You feel happy. And
yes,
then
you do.
You also want to do something for them. And at times, because you're happy, you do a little bit more for them.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And the way I understand is that if I give you 20,000 rand and I expect it back from you, God is going to bless me.
Yes.
He'll bless me.
Yeah.
Okay? But when I give it to you with a cheerful heart, and then it says God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It means that the love of God is then activated in my giving.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of God is also activated. And I believe that because you've done it with a cheerful heart, the chances of you getting more back is even greater.
Yeah.
It forced me to then direct my funds in a particular direction when it came to philanthropy.
Yeah.
I realized that I'm not comfortable giving 100,000 rand and not expecting it back.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable giving maybe, say, 10,000 rand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it. And whoever it is, even if they say to me, Arthur, I'll give it back to you, I say, look, that's okay. Because in their commitment, there's also a blessing.
Mm.
And if they are true to their commitment, I shouldn't stand in the way of them learning to be disciplined.
Mm.
If I say, no, take the money, go. Yeah, don't worry about it. Just take it.
Mm.
It defeats the purpose of them learning the principle of honoring their word and their intention.
Yeah. it's a bit of a tough one, but I get the principle that you are mentioning there, because it can be a very difficult one, I suppose. If you don't have the heart to give from that manner, then it becomes very, very difficult. But what I want to hear then from you, Mr. Evans, is with regards to going back to the question around righteousness, peace, and joy. Would you say that in your own life you found the balance? Okay, seems like we've lost him again there. Let's see what we can do then to bring him back. All right, so I've got Mr. Evans back on the line. The Gremlins doing their thing in studio, but like I said, we are not going to let this conversation go because it is a very important one. We've got a few minutes left, Mr. Evans, but what I wanted to then ask you on just the thought that you were sharing, you mentioned importance of showing weakness, because we live in a society where we are taught not to show weakness. Particularly people who are leaders like yourselves, who are running businesses, who have to stand in front of your employees, even when things don't look good, and try and look strong, not show some weakness. How do we navigate that, especially as leaders, as people in business, as people who are in positions of leadership and all management and all? How do we not become strong or become at least weak when we need to, or show some level of humanness, as it were?
I think we need to re-script our minds.
Yeah.
And we need to rewrite our scripting.
Yeah.
Based on how God sees us.
Yeah.
I would encourage us not to think of weakness as weakness per se, but as honesty.
Yeah.
And at times we must be honest in the moment.
Yeah.
Because it is when you are able to recognize that weakness and accept it,
yeah,
and wholeheartedly hand it over to the Lord.
Mm.
I'm led to believe, I don't know about you,
yeah,
but I'm led to believe that His strength, God's strength, is made perfect
in our weaknesses.
In our weakness.
Yes, yes.
And so it's not a, we cannot be afraid of being weak. We cannot be afraid of being sincere, because these are qualities that actually connect us. Remember, God connects us with people.
Yeah.
And we always draw closer to people that give us honesty. Because with honesty, most likely there's integrity.
Yeah.
And with integrity comes trust.
Yeah.
And with trust, you can then forge long-lasting relationships. Mm. And relationships, out of the different levels of money that exist, relationships are the higher level of money than actual cash.
Mm.
And so it's important that we forge relationships that are built on these key fundamentals.
Sure.
Today, when it comes to giving, I still give.
Yeah.
But because I know I'm only happy giving in certain amounts,
I filter
my giving along those lines. Mm. And the larger amounts, I then look for structure.
Mm.
Because with every resource we have, we must put it into structure.
Yeah.
The gift of life, right? The gift of eternal life has been given to us. But we put it into structure. And that structure is the church building where we probably fellowship, where there's a pastor, eldership, leadership that give us wisdom and guide us.
Mm.
Your money is the same thing.
Mm.
At church, you get given advice. Yeah. You still have to make the decision.
Yes,
you take your money to the bank. It's still your decision on how you're going to invest that money.
Mm.
And so in giving, we at times we tend to be a little bit reckless in our giving and our stewardship of money, because we give outside of structure. So today, I still give freely every now and then.
Yeah.
But the bigger amounts I put into structure.
Into structure.
I look to partner formally with a charity or an NGO.
Yeah.
And you, all the listeners.
Yeah.
Even if it's 50 rand.
Yeah.
Put that 50 rand into structure.
So that it gives it some sort of direction, right? And so, if you were to then, I suppose, and I'm asking this question because I really want to pen down what you've just said, because in my mind I can already picture it, I can frame it, I can understand it in my mind, but I really want to now hear it from yourself. How would you define your relationship with money? I know you spoke about structure, bigger amounts, smaller amounts, giving and all that. Do you think you've got a good relationship with money?
I have a very honest relationship with money.
I've discovered that most
people have relationships with money based on their early childhood.
Yeah.
Susan Orman, in her book, Steps to Financial Freedom, gives examples of early childhood trauma over money and financial dealings that had ripple effects through the life of people.
Yeah.
So, for example, one young boy
who
was 8 forgot to take lunch money at the end of their camp.
Yeah.
And everyone had money except him.
Sure.
And no one left, but everyone contributed and then bought him lunch. Later on in life, he was the guy going to expensive restaurants, buying the most expensive food for his guests, for his teams. We went for a pitch. He was the one spending the money at the table. He ran up ridiculous bills, right, to impress. But it was literally a financial wound that existed.
Shoot.
So I was, like many people, I was very scared of money.
Mm.
I would get money and I'd want to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And I'd say, you know, it's good because I'm saving. So opportunities would pass me by because I was scared of going for the opportunity.
Yes.
Because in my mind, I never came from wealth.
Mm.
So having money was a precious thing. Any money was a precious commodity. Mm. So I closed my fist.
Yes.
But now, as I've grown, I've come to learn that I need to be honest with money. And secondly, I don't have to be scared. Mm. And I'm not scared with or without money.
Yeah.
Show me a man that can make a dollar in a day, and you'll show me a man that will be eternally rich.
I won't forget that.
The wealth that I have is a product of the value that I put into this world.
Mm.
And so I'm not worried about the money. I will worry the day I start losing relevance, the day I start doubting my value in this world. And so what it means is that I'd like to think that I take the correct steps at the right time. I don't rush for anything when it comes to money.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm sure with hindsight, as some politicians like saying, there is that one mistake about money that you've made. What would you say it is?
Oh, impulse. One of my terrible reactions to having money that I always have to put on mute and manage is impulse. I'm always budgeting in my head. I know what I want to do. I know my plans, life plan. But when there's that little bit of excess, and I see something that I like, I would want to go for it.
Yeah.
So I know that I'm naturally triggered for impulse buying, impulse purchasing, and it's not just it's not because I've gone onto an online store. I feel the impulse, and that's why I think, like I said, I'm honest with myself. We also have to be honest with ourselves.
Yeah,
I feel that impulse. Maybe some of the listeners, you also feel that impulse when you get money, payday comes. You've not looked at anything per se, but you just feel I've got to spend something.
And that spending is always nice, eh?
Yeah,
it brings that some sort of feel good. Yeah, it does exactly that. Would you say that's also the kind of advice you share with family kids?
Yeah, yes. It's very important to take fear out of the equation when talking to children.
Yeah.
And it's very important that you teach them a culture of saving as well as investment.
Yeah.
You've got to also teach them to be accountable for it.
Yes.
A lot of times we tell children to save, but save and teach them basic accounting. Teach them how to check their balance.
Yes.
If they're taking money out.
Yes.
Teach them to use the correct terminology.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Speak to them and tell them, look, I'm drawing down on my savings. I am making a withdrawal. So the language behind educating children about money is also very, very important, so that when they walk into a financial service provider, they are accustomed and familiar with some of the terminology, and they are also not afraid when they are asked to sign documents. Because when it comes to black and white, they start reading all these big terms.
Yep.
They're comfortable with the understanding that when you deal with money, it's not colloquial language that must always be used. They are proper words.
Yes.
And it's about finding out what those proper words are. Yes.
Fantastic. As we draw to a close, what would you give your younger self as advice looking back?
Don't be scared of money.
Love that.
Don't be scared of money. And I would say, Arthur, don't undervalue yourself.
Sure, don't undervalue yourself.
Don't undervalue yourself. It's your value that will bring the money and the success. So don't be scared of money. Don't undervalue yourself.
Don't be scared of money and don't undervalue yourself. Okay, I need to write this one because it's very important. And if you were to do things differently, what do you think you would change?
I would have distinctly looked for mentorship.
Mentorship.
If you remember from last week.
Yeah.
From last week, yes. For those that were there.
Yeah.
You'll remember my story where I didn't have a father figure for about a decade in my life.
Yeah.
And my friends and other you know, all the men became indirectly mentors in my life.
Yeah.
And I think I would have done well taking a specific step towards finding someone or being around people specifically to ask the questions that I had.
Yeah.
I had so many questions and I never asked them until later on in life.
Yeah.
And I think I waited too long to ask the question because I took too long to get mentorship.
Mm. Sure. All right. And what's there for you 10 years from now to still do? You're a modeler, you're a father, you're a radio and TV personality, you're an entrepreneur. Seems like you've done it all. But 10 years from now, where do you see yourself?
I see myself influencing Africa.
Africa.
I see myself influencing Africa, particular in the space of speaking.
Yeah.
You know, the soft skill of presentation and pitching.
Ooh, okay.
And creating an ideology that, or a conversation rather than an ideology, that galvanizes Africans towards our own standards and a confidence and a self-belief within ourselves with a distinct intention not to make comparisons with the West and set benchmarks with the first world, but to use those things to set direction and to inform us of the standards that we want. We must be able to be bold enough and to be brave enough to carve out our own way of doing life in Africa. And I am going to do my best to use the gift of oratory that I have and every platform that I have to direct people, to make that small direction across Africa, to encourage people that we can do it. Let's set a standard and let's be bold about it.
Yeah, let's set the standard and let's be bold about it. Final thoughts, and where can people get you or follow you?
Thanks, Tapelo. I would love people to follow me. Please follow me on Instagram, follow me on X, follow me on Facebook. If you get your handle, it is Arthur Evans ZW. That's ArthurEvansZW. And if you get lost, simply run a Google search, Arthur C. Evans, Zimbabwe or Africa, and you will find me, I guarantee you.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you so much, sir, even with the gremlins. But we really appreciate your patience and stay with us. You and I, coffee one of these days when I'm in Zimbabwe.
I'm in South Africa this coming week. If we get time,
look at
maybe
you.
We can link up.
Definitely, I'll be in touch. But thank you so much, sir. Really appreciate your time. Your story is really inspiring, and may God continue to bless you.
God bless you too, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. That is, of course, Arthur Evans there, telling us a little bit about his life, what he has been doing, and what he has been up to. I'm not going to jinx it. Beautiful.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.